Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
All right, so today's topic, as the video showed us, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Pretty commonplace in our society today, this thought. And to be honest, it sounds pretty good, right? As long as you're sincere in what you believe about God, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as it feels good, right? So God is this loving and big and cuddly God, and it doesn't really matter what you believe about him, because as long as you're sincere, the chances are that you're going to be A-okay, right? Because all roads lead to God anyway, right? Isn't that what Oprah said? All roads eventually lead to God, yeah? So all religions are basically the same, right, is what this is saying. It doesn't matter what you believe, right, as long as you're sincere. So in our society today, spirituality in itself isn't a bad thing, right? It's not bad to believe in God or a higher power or the universe. Usually you're not going to get much controversy there. I mean, a lot of the big athletes and superstars and rock stars, and whenever they get their awards or they win the big game, they're always giving thanks to God, you know, for this and that and whatnot, and it's not a big deal. So where does the controversy come in? Typically, it's when you mention the name of Jesus. So what is it about Jesus that stirs up so much controversy? What's interesting is that most critics don't deny that there was a Jesus or the existence of Jesus, right? They believe there was a Jewish man, lived in the early first century, lived in Israel. They also, interestingly enough, a lot of them like his teachings, right? His teachings are pretty good. Be generous, forgive those that hurt you, help the poor, love others. So when does everyone get upset about talking about Jesus? Well, it's usually based on this one claim of Jesus in John 14:6. John 14:6. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open those up. Smartphones, you can pull those out, pull up your Bible app. John 14:6. Jesus here has just told the disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house, right? His Father's house has many rooms. And this is talking about heaven, right? And Jesus says to them, "You know the way to where I'm going." But Thomas is one of Jesus' disciples, and I love Thomas because he was the realest disciple, in my opinion. He said what was on his mind, even if, you know, if he doubted what was going on. He was the realest, right? He could drop this and let the whole world feel it. He could, you know, was still in the motor business. He could hold you down like he's given lessons in physics. There we go. All right, first service, that joke, let me tell you. And if you didn't get it, it's okay. Just remember, I'm a youth leader. And so if I was in youth group, it was probably the youth that were laughing just now. So anyway, back to our story. So Thomas, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And let's look at Jesus says, John 14:6. He says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And there you have it. That one statement sets Jesus apart from all other religions. He claims that there is no other way to God the Father except to go through him. Crystal, my wife, was taking a world religion class when she was doing her undergraduate. It's probably 2-3 years ago, not that long ago. Some of you that know Crystal are giggling a little bit because it was a little bit longer than 2 or 3 years ago. She made a statement, kind of a passing statement, that sparked this huge debate in class. And she said that if you believe in one religion, you kind of discount the other religions, their validity, because you're saying that that particular religion's way, it doesn't have to be Christianity, but that particular religion's way is the way or the path to God. And so you kind of discount all of the other paths, right? So briefly, let's just talk about that for a moment, okay? So we're going to talk about the other kind of world religions, and we're going to kind of just scrape the surface here. And before we do that, can we agree that there is a little bit of truth in most religions, and there are things of beauty in most religions as well. Can we agree on that? Okay, so let's just really quickly, we're going to really quickly look at Buddhism first. So in Buddhism, there is no God. No God in Buddhism. You're reborn, reincarnated until you reach enlightenment, okay? No God in Buddhism. In Hinduism is very different. In Hinduism, there are many gods, hundreds of gods, okay? They are impersonal gods. They don't offer forgiveness for sins. They don't have any supernatural help. Where Buddhism and Hinduism overlap is the sense of karma, right? Karma is if you do something good, then good things will happen to you. If you do something bad, then bad things will happen to you. And that kind of makes sense, right? In the whole cosmic scheme of things, it seems like it would make sense. If you look at Islam, a Muslim worships Allah, right? So it's a very personal God. No secondary gods, right? That's a bad thing. If you're a Muslim, you're standing with God, with Allah. Depends on what you do, on your religious devotion, on your works. If you look at New Age, it's popular these days in lots of parts of the world, but there's no God in New Age, right? But there is a higher consciousness. There's wanting to be one with the universe or one with the cosmos. And let's take a look at Christianity, right? We have a personal God. The love of this personal God has been exposed to us through Jesus, his son. He offers forgiveness of sins, right? Our wrongness, that which separates us from this personal God. And it's not something that we have to do, but it's not our religious efforts, but it's based on God's goodness. It's a free gift if we choose to accept it. So without even getting churchy on you guys, right? Objectively, we can see that Crystal was right in her undergrad class, right, when she said this. They're beautiful things, even some truths in religion, but on these short descriptions, we can see contradictions in statements, and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, right? And by the way, say it with me, God never said that, right? Okay, so here's what I'd like us to do today. No matter what religion you are, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, I'd like us to take a look at things objectively. And what I want us to look at is Jesus, okay? Just Jesus. I want us to just consider Jesus. I don't want us to consider the church, and now I'm talking about our church here, but also the global church. I don't want you to consider the church, okay? I don't want you to consider a Christian denomination or not even Christianity, okay? We're not talking about religion. We're just talking about Jesus. Jesus was about relationship, okay? I don't want you to consider the people that call themselves Christians. You can have two people that call themselves Christians who are very, very different people. Am I right? Right? You can have a person that's loving, that's caring, and then on this side you could have a person that's dogmatic, legalistic, doesn't really care about anybody but themselves, right? Both claim to be Christians, and so we're not looking at Christians here. All I want you to do is I want you to just consider Jesus, okay? Nothing else, just Jesus. So the first thing that we're going to look at, we're going to consider the ministry of Jesus, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, take a look at Mark 2, 16 through 17. Mark 2, 16 through 17, and it says, "And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, he said to the disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" I love this passage because look who Jesus was eating with, right? He wasn't eating with the spiritually elite of the time. He was eating with sinners and tax collectors. The New Living Version, the New Living Translation version puts it this way. It's more in today's language. It replaces that sinners and tax collectors, and it just uses the word scum. He was eating with scum. He was eating with the scum of society, right? Why is that significant? Because no righteous person of that time would have eaten with people like this. They were too dirty, too filthy, too gross to even associate with. And to have a meal was a very intimate thing in that time. So it was a big deal. And so they asked the disciples, and Jesus overhears them asking. And so he chimes in and he says, it's not the people that are well that need a doctor. Jesus came for the sick. He was telling the spiritually elite that he came for the spiritually hopeless. He didn't come for the righteous, but he came for the sinner, like me, like you. He came again, not for the spiritually righteous. He came for us. So let's consider the ministry of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed the lame. He opened blind eyes. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 men, probably closer to 10,000 people, with women and children included. And what did he feed them with? A little kid's Lunchable box, right? He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? He turned water into wine. And here's what's crazy, if you think about this. The spiritual elite of the time didn't question the validity of Jesus' miracles, right? They just wanted him to stop, okay? Because who was Jesus ministering to? The scum, right? He wasn't fitting into their mold or their religious ideas of who he should be doing this for, right? So as Christ followers, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, then we're supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're an extension of the ministry of Jesus. And here at Reveal, we have 10 hills that we die on. So these are 10 non-negotiable things. We can, you know, choose to disagree on different areas of theology, but these are 10 things that we as a church, this is what we don't disagree on, right? So if you go to our website, you click on About, there's actually a little section that says, you know, 10 hills that we die on. You click on that and you'll find the list if you're curious about that. But one that I wanted to touch on today, and I love this one, it's the hill that everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. Let's take a look at the, I actually pulled this right off of the website. It says, everyone gets to play. In Jesus' kingdom, everybody gets to play. Jesus recruited ordinary people, guys off fishing boats, women from all walks of life, to partner with God in his kingdom, in his kingdom message. And he's extending the same invitation to us. We believe that ministry is not reserved for pastors or paid staff. Rather, everyone in the church has unique God-given gifts, and we're invited to use them to show off his creativity and handiwork. We don't have to wait to be spiritually mature. We get to jump in right away. You'll be surprised what God can do through you and his church when everyone gets to play. We get to be the ministry of Jesus. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, everybody gets to play. There are opportunities almost every week in the announcements. Marty mentioned today, if somebody gets sick, has a baby, there's a death in the family, someone needs some food, I know there's some people out there that can cook. You are an extension of the ministry of Jesus. Everybody gets to play, okay? Next, I want us to consider the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. So, what we need to realize is that God loves us so much that he sent his only son that was born of a virgin. Why was he born of a virgin? Well, so it wouldn't inherit the sin nature from the father. Jesus was the perfect man. He was without sin. He was the only one that could make things right between God and between the human race. So catch this. When he was on the cross, and after being beaten and whipped, and he was beyond recognition because he was so just pounded, right? stakes jammed into his forearms, through the bones in his feet and ankles. And what does he do? I couldn't do this. Honestly, I couldn't do this. He looks up to the heaven and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And then he said, "It is finished." And the earth shook and went dark. And the centurion that wasn't even a believer in Christ, he saw what was going on and he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." 3 days later, when his followers went to pay their respects, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb and the tomb was empty. Christ's followers say that they believe that he was raised from the dead. When Peter was speaking to a crowd at the celebration of Pentecost about this, he said it this way. Look in Acts 3:15, it says, "And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead." What's that next part say? "To this we are..." A little bit louder. "To this we are..." There we go. Why is this important? Why is this important? What Peter is saying here is that there were eyewitnesses that saw Jesus dead, and now they saw him alive. There were eyewitnesses. People saw this, okay? So critics and skeptics would say, well, the Roman soldiers probably stole the body, hid the body away. Well, that doesn't make sense, because the enemies of Jesus would have loved to be able to produce a body and said, "Ha-ha, we got you. No, he's still dead. Your claims are false," right? So that doesn't make sense. So some would say, okay, well, the disciples probably snuck by the Roman soldiers that were guarding the body and stole the body. But if we look at the account in Matthew, it says that the chief priests and the Pharisees, right, the spiritual elite that didn't like Jesus, they actually went to Pilate and said, "You know what? We don't believe this, but he did say that he was going to rise again on the third day. We don't believe it, but, you know, just in case, maybe you could send some people to go watch over that." And Pilate says, "Okay, take a guard of Roman soldiers, and they'll keep watch over the body," right? So how much is a guard? How many is a guard? Well, there's some discrepancy on what how many they think is in a guard. They think it's at least 4 soldiers, okay? So these are highly elite Roman soldiers. Realistically speaking, Rome was, you know, was a military giant of the day. They're not going to be outfoxed by a couple or 11, if you will, right? Uneducated, untrained men. And so they're more than likely going to send more, so they're not outnumbered. So realistically, if you double the number, you're looking at 22, triple the number, 33. So maybe 25 to 35 guards is probably a reasonable estimate of how many were there. And so even if the disciples, 11 uneducated, untrained men, were able to get through or around these guards, you'd still have the testimony of the guards to say that somebody made an attempt on the body, right? The Bible said the guards were alive. They were asleep, but they were alive, right? So let's look at this rationally. 11 small town, uneducated men, average men, devised the most elaborate plan in the history of the world. They pulled it off and they kept it secret, all with no personal motive, no personal gain, and they went through extreme loss to keep the ruse going. All but one died for their faith. They would not deny their claim that Jesus was alive, right? Let's look at Thomas again. What was Thomas's nickname? He wasn't Fancy Thomas, right? No, he was Doubting Thomas. That was back to the Iggy Azalea reference earlier in the... No? Okay. Father's Day mulligan. I'm just going to go ahead and take that right there. Okay. Thomas, Doubting Thomas. He was the realist, right? He didn't believe it when they came and told him that Jesus was actually alive, right? They didn't believe it. He said, "No, I won't believe it until I see Jesus, until I put my hands in the holes in his arms and in his side. I'm not going to believe it." And wouldn't you know it, the next thing you know, Jesus shows up. Literally shows up, door is locked, Jesus is there. And he says, "Thomas, look, here it is. There's the holes in my arms. Here's the hole in my side. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can touch it. It's okay." And so what happens to Thomas? Thomas later on, he ends up in India. He becomes the evangelist in India and starts telling India about Jesus, and he was told to let his faith go, to deny the existence of Christ, that Christ never was risen from the dead, and he wouldn't do it. And so what did they do? They put a spear through his body, and that's how Thomas dies. Why would he do that? Why would he take that all the way to the end? It's because he was an eyewitness. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. Peter said, "We are witnesses." So, consider the ministry of Jesus. Consider the resurrection of Jesus. And our last point is to consider the eternal message of Jesus. The eternal message of Jesus. Let's look at one more scripture. We're going to look at Romans 3:22. Romans 3:22. It says, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are." Consider the eternal message of Jesus, guys. This is it. It's powerful stuff right here. How are we made right by God? By placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how dark your life is. It doesn't matter how many sins that you've committed. It doesn't matter how angry of a person you are, how bitter of a person you are. You know what? It doesn't even matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how many people that you helped. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ plus nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just Jesus Christ. It's not Christ plus church attendance, plus church membership. It's not Christ plus good works. It's not Christ plus giving money. It's not Christ plus whatever. You fill in the blank. That's religion. Christ plus stuff, anything, is just religion. Religion is about how I perform. It's what I do. How good am I? What am I doing? Am I doing the right stuff? Am I giving enough? Am I getting rid of the bad stuff? Am I, doing stuff? It's not about religion. I'm talking about relationship. Jesus didn't come to create relationship. He came to show us the love of God. Let me have the band come up, please. He came to give us relationship. And while religion is about me, relationship is about Jesus. It's all about him. Religion says, if I am good enough, then God will love me. Relationship says, because God loves me, he accepts me. And because he accepts me, I will choose to obey. It's not in an effort to gain his love. It's in response to the eternal love that was there all the time. God doesn't love you because of what you do. God loves you because of who he is. Did you catch that? I'm going to say it again for you. God doesn't love you because of what you do. God loves you because of who he is. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more. There's nothing that you can do to get God to love you any less. God loves you because that's who he is. Religion is about me. Relationship is about Jesus. Religion is about if I'm good enough, then he'll love me. But relationship is because he's good. He already loves me. We just have to place our faith in Christ. Some would say this is too good to be true. I would tell you it's too good not to be true. No one could make up a God who would come down and become one of us and die in our place. That's why we call it the gospel. We call it the good news. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Stand with me, please.